Well, good morning. This is John Keller. This is the Trinity College of Florida podcast, and I have a student with me today, and she has been a very busy student. So for the record, state your name and your degree.
I am Stephanie. I'm a student at Trinity College, and I am studying pastoral ministry.
Pastoral ministry, outstanding. So I always like to start from the beginning whenever I meet with anyone and do this. So there's two questions I always like to ask, and one is, how did you come to Trinity? And the second one is, the most important one, when did you become a Christ follower? So let's start with that. When did you become a Christ follower?
I want to say I was about 8 years old. So during that time, we were attending the church, and we had kind of been going for about 2-3 years by then. And I heard about God and just this person that saves and loves us. And during that season of my life, I was going through a lot of tough things. Even as a kid, I was struggling with just very negative thoughts about myself, about just life. And that night particularly, I was in my bathroom, and the thoughts kept coming, and one of the thoughts was, you know, maybe life isn't worth living. And looking back as a kid, I'm like, that's just so sad for a kid to think that, but the thoughts were there. And in that moment, I kind of just cried out to God, and I was like, you claim to save, you know, people are saying that you're a savior and that you came to save us. I need you to save me right now. And in that moment, I just felt a sense of overwhelming love and peace that I'd never felt before. And I was like, I accept, you know, and I accept you into my life, and I want to live differently. And from that point on, and it wasn't till I was a kid, so it was hard to kind of understand all that comes with that. But we kept going to church, and then unfortunately, my family was going through a tough time, so we kind of stopped going. And then we now found the home church that I still attend when I go back home, and we became members, and we did all of that good stuff. And I really took my relationship with God seriously, I would say, my sophomore year of high school, so I was about 15 at the time.
Sure.
Because of another experience that I just had. And there was always that, I trust God, I know God. But I think that year really solidified, like, things got to change. There's other things that I have to change. And that's when I fully was like, yeah, I'm surrendering entirely. And so that's kind of how all that began.
It's an awesome story. I love that you recognized you needed a savior.
Yeah.
You at 8 years old, recognized who God was, who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And people mess up their whole lives, man.
Oh, yeah.
They grow up in church and they don't even know it. That's, you know, and it's like, it sounds like you're going through tough times. Let's see if this verse resonates with you. God is near the brokenhearted.
That's still a verse I go back to every time. It's just a reminder of those seasons that if God came through then, there's no saying that he won't come through now. And so that's something I always keep close to heart.
Mm-hmm. What was the actual thing that introduced you to Trinity College of Florida?
It's a pretty long story, so I'm going to try to keep it as short as possible, but I graduated high school in 2019, and I loved school. I loved learning, and so I planned to go straight into college, and the university I had actually placed a deposit on, it was just something within me was like, I don't know if this is the right decision. I was praying about it, and it was kind of like God was leading me to not make that decision. So I asked for my deposit back, thankfully got it back. And I was like, what do I do now? I tried to go to my community college. It was too late. Classes had already started. So I was like, okay, I'll take the fall off. 2020 came and...
Pandemic!
Yep, the pandemic hit. I was also offered a job at my church. And so I was like, you know what? I'll kind of just start next fall. That way I'm starting in the fall semester, starting kind of fresh and just all of that. And then the pandemic hits in March and I was like, well... there goes my plans. And so I just stayed home. I was attending my church, kind of working at the church. Obviously, with the pandemic, closes churching, the government kind of being like, everyone has to be home, quarantine, that put a stop on a lot of my plans regarding leaving that August. And so, funny enough, during that time, I started feeling like an incline to attend a Christian college. I was like, why don't I go ahead and actually go?
What were you originally going to study when you were thinking?
I was originally going to study. I went to a trade high school. So I went to.
Cool.
Yeah. So I studied business. And so I was going to go into business. But I was going to go into healthcare management. I loved kind of the healthcare environment. And I loved business. So I was like, I'll just combine the two. But there was still, I didn't have the passion for it. It was just something I did. I liked it. Let's go for it.
It's a paycheck.
Yep, it's a paycheck. I'll make a living. The jobs are everywhere. I thought absolutely. It'd be
yeah.
an easier career to find a job. But still, it was like, this isn't what I love to do. And at my church, I was very involved with the kids ministry, youth ministry. And so I knew what it was like to be in ministry. And I loved that. I loved all it was to lead and lead Bible studies and lead younger people in their faith and all of that. But anyways, during that time, I was like, okay, I'm going to start looking up colleges, just Christian colleges. What's funny is in 2019, I had come to Orlando. That was my first time in Florida. It's for a competition for my high school, and I fell in love with Florida. I was like, oh, I could see myself like living in Florida, being here.
Yeah, 75 degrees in January, February.
Yeah, it yeah. was, to me, it was great. I had never experienced anything like that. It was just so peaceful when I got here. And so, even though I was in Orlando, which is funny.
Yeah, but, it was a little bit rough.
Oh, yeah. And then when I was looking up Christian colleges, I was like, a crazy thought. Let me just look up some in Florida. I wanted to stay kind of local because I'm a very family person, but I was like, let me just throw the net and kind of see what happens. And I just looked up conservative Christian colleges, and just a bunch popped up, and Trinity College was, I think, the first or the second one on that list. And so I went through each of them. I went through Trinity College, Trinity Baptist, Pensacola, and I read through every handbook. I read through every degree, and one of the things was, obviously, we offer a double major, and I was like, wow, I could study something that I enjoy while also learning about the Bible and theology and all that
yeah,
means.
That without a doubt is our unique value.
Oh, for sure.
Like people say, what makes you guys special? You're going to have 45 credits in Bible theology. Yeah.
And so I was like, interesting. But I was still unsure. So I was like, I'll just keep it there just in case. August of 2020, I kind of sat down with my pastor and I was like, I think I'm going to apply to this college and I think I'm going to head out soon. And he was like, of course. He knew I wasn't going to be there long term as working at my church. He knew that I was going to spread my wings eventually, and he wanted me to. So I'm very grateful to have pastors that.
It's kind of like an internship in a sense.
Yeah.
So you got paid.
Yeah. True. And so I applied that August to Trinity College. I got accepted, and I came down for a campus preview with my mom in October of 2020 and one of our close family friends. And mom was like, I think this is it, Stephanie. And I was like, I think so, too.
I kind of remember that now, thinking about it.
Yeah. And so I came, and then I moved in January 2021. And that's kind of where everything started.
That's fantastic. So I have to ask this question about the global pandemic. Because I have this theory, I'm probably not wrong, that pretty much your entire generation has some post-traumatic stress from the pandemic. I watch my own children.
Yeah.
What they went through, being isolated.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's not good for man to be alone, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not, you yeah. know, it's not good to be isolated. We need fellowship
mm-hmm.
with each other. And the pandemic was really evil in that sense.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that affect you when you were going through that?
I think the biggest aspect for me was the fellowship of church. In Connecticut, we had different law restrictions or just restrictions regarding COVID. So
pretty strict, right?
Yeah, we were very strict. And we had curfew. And so it just
curfew.
Made it, yeah, we had curfew. We had to be off the roads by a certain time unless you were an employee and that had a letter from your job saying, like, you could travel back and forth.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. So if any cop were to stop you, state police, like, you'd have to show them that letter that you are on traveling because of work.
What did that look like if you didn't have, if you, did you know anybody that got in trouble?
Not that I know of. I do know my mom. She was an employee at, she is an employee at UConn. And so she still had to work and she's a part of the custodial staff. So what it was sanitizing and stuff like that, offices, they still had to go to work. So I remember her having the letter and just keeping it in her car just in case. And it was interesting. I think one time she got stopped by the UConn police, just making sure like, that they were there for the right reason. So that was interesting within itself. But for us, even the church, we shut down for about 6 months, I think. We didn't open up. And when we did, we started off in the parking lot in our cars. Like, we had outside service. Everyone was in their designated cars. And that's how we did service. And we had to wear masks. The services were about an hour long, kept it short. Typically, our services are about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And we had to just keep it short just to make sure that, one, everyone got home on time, and two, that we weren't together for too long. But just seeing each other and not being able to just embrace each other, hug each other, that was super tough on us. And then when we did open up, it was still weird because we had to then, my church is a smaller church, so we have about 100 members. And so when we did open up, we still had to divide the services by two because the restriction was we had to be 6 feet apart. And so we had to put the chairs in ways that there weren't, we weren't sitting next to someone unless you were family.
So if you walk into Walmart during that time, were the restrictions the same in Walmart?
Probably not.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's kind of how the church did it. And obviously, just to not get in legal trouble, my pastor tried to make sure that we abided to those laws. At that time, the job that I had at my church was the church secretary. So I worked alongside the pastor, putting the seat assignments, putting the flyers, like, keep your mask on 6 feet apart, in the bathroom, letting them know, like, please wash your hands before you leave the bathroom and all of that. So that was different. I think even my experience working for the church was very different compared to now because I was working in a time where, one, we didn't have people coming to church because church doors were closed. And just even having to handle finances and all of that. So it was a very interesting time, and I think that was the most impactful was church.
Did it really negatively impact the church and giving and everything? Or were you privy of that? Or
I think for the most part, praise God for that, we kept a pretty good, like, you know, balance. Like, it wasn't too bad. It did shake up a little bit for, like, elders because they didn't know how to use apps to donate or send in checks. They kind of would come to church, and that's how they would put in their tithing or their offerings, and that shifted a little bit because my church is a mix of all generations, so it was harder for the elders, I think, even home visits, the pastor having to be careful of home visits because he also had to take care of his family, make sure that he wasn't, you know, getting his family sick, and we had a few members pass away that year, and that was tough on the church because we couldn't, if we attended the funeral, we had to be like, we couldn't comfort the family. And it was a very hard time for us as a church. And
I had a lot of friends. I had two friends pass away the same day. Neither one were old, you know, and it's just awful. And then the information's never accurate, you know.
Yeah, and then that was the hard thing when information was coming out and the church was trying to educate the members, but it was like, what do we say? Like, what do we do? How do we go about this? And it was relying a lot on, the pastor was relying a lot on just obviously the Holy Spirit's guidance. Like, how do we do this? Because obviously we've never done this before. And it was new for us as a whole. And thankfully we opened up a little less than a year before, after 2020. And so, so we were able to do that embracing and that loving, but it was still hard because it wasn't the same. We were like, oh, do we hug? Do we not hug? Do we say hi?
How
do
I still fist bump.
Yeah.
And I'm a hugger. I would hug everybody, and I'm still fist bump. Yeah. And because it's still prevalent, you know? And so I don't know how many times I've had it, honestly. It's pretty, pretty rough. So this is the part that really blows my mind. You left the state of Connecticut.
Yes, yep.
Left your family, mm-hmm. left your church, your safety area.
Yeah.
And you're not old.
No, not.
And you come to Florida.
Yep.
and basically the middle of a global pandemic.
Yep. When I got here.
To come
here,
to Bible college.
Yeah,
like,
when I got
what's here. That look like?
Well, when
what's
I got
that conversation
here,
with your family? And
That is...
Were you really fully supported by your family? Like, who's
100%.
What's your family's dynamic?
It is my mom, and I have two younger brothers. Okay. So that is kind of my neutral, like, my...
Were you a single parent growing up?
For a little bit growing up. She got married. They're now going, unfortunately, through a separation, so it has not become again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A one-woman show, and very grateful for her. She is amazing. But during that time... It was during the pandemic they actually ended up separating. So that was something that dramatically changed our family dynamic. That was, I think, one of the hardest parts was obeying God in the midst of my mom probably going through one of the hardest seasons of her life and having to kind of step out, step away, and letting God kind of do the rest. And so...
Was she supported by the church well?
I would definitely say so. My pastor, my pastor actually ended up retiring. My childhood pastor ended up retiring June 2021, I believe. So I actually ended up going back home to celebrate that. It was June or 2021 or 2022. And then our new pastors came in, and they were friends with the church. They are actually family with one of the members of our church. So we've known them for years, love them.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they were pastors in Puerto Rico, and God called them to Connecticut after our pastors retired, and they stepped in, and they've done an incredible job. And they have also just been a great support to my mom, to my family. My youngest brother has autism, so having a church that supports, like, understanding that he's not like sometimes everyone else, and he has his struggles, and he doesn't learn as easily or as quickly. And having a church that fully supports you is amazing. Our children's director is phenomenal, and she's definitely helped my mom in that for services, like taking my brother where my mom can sit there and listen to the message. But yeah, so during that time, I left home, and it was a decision I had to make. I was like, okay, do I leave? Like, I don't want to leave my mom. And knowing that God is like, you got to go. Yeah. Like, you have to go. And I made the decision. My mom came with me. My church supported me in all ways, financially, materialistically. They got me stuff that I needed.
Really?
Financially. Because I was coming out of state, I didn't bring a car. So they basically just gave me monetary donations. And they were like, get whatever you need.
Wait a minute. Your church financially supported you coming to Trinity
College? Yeah, a lot of...
What a concept.
A lot of what I bought was because of my church's donations. I don't think my mom had to spend, if anything, on buying anything.
Okay, we're going to name this church right now. Because I think, you know, the Bible says to give honor where honor is due, right? So, because this is actually encouraging me right now, because I really believe the church needs to step it up.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I say the church, I'm not talking about the 501c3 building. I think the body of Christ, really needs to get, you know, being military, mm-hmm. being a veteran in a military family. There's two things that you never do. You never leave anyone behind.
Yeah.
Okay. And you never move without cover.
Mm-hmm.
Cover and move. You know, it's an interesting thing. But, and they say, well, how does that apply to Christian life? Well, you don't do anything without the covering of your shepherds, pastors, you know, your church family, your family,
mm-hmm.
prayer, cover it in prayer, right? Literally cover it in prayer. We need to have each other's back. We really need to support each other. And that is something that I find. So I really like to give honor where honor is due.
Yes.
And what is your church? Who is your church?
So I come from a Hispanic church, so we obviously have a Spanish name, but it's called Iglesia Las Buenas Nuevas de Norwich. So it is Church of the Good News.
Fantastic.
Of Norwich, which is the town that it is located in. Yep. And we, from the beginning, since I've been there, it's just been a blessing to have such support. And even when I did leave, kind of what you were talking about, even the covering, having the elders pray over me, my pastor, it kind of just made it known to me that, okay, I'm leaving and understanding that, you know, I'm in good hands and they're praying for me and they have my back. And even to this day when I go back, I still receive donations. Like, I'm now in my fourth year of college and they still are like, whatever you need, call me. I'm a call away. And when my mission trips I've had, they're the first ones. My church is the first ones too.
I'm a single parent, you know, I raise my kids. Yeah. And God always took care of me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just flat out my kids. My daughter just, you know Jenna.
Yes.
She has she's 18 with her AA from mm-hmm. Trinity College to do enrollment. And we just picked up her Buick LaCrosse car. And she has no debt and she has no car payment. And she's pursuing a university degree somewhere else, but she did her AA here.
Yeah.
Because this is where she wants to work, the field. And she was blessed here, you know, and she was, but I've watched people bless my children, and mm-hmm. it just makes me so happy. My son has spina bifida, so I've raised a special needs child, mm-hmm. that's in Arkansas. A little church up there adopted him out of the clear blue through his aide that comes, you know, mm-hmm. provides nursing services. Yeah. And when he got an apartment, they moved him in and bought everything down to toothbrush soap, hand sanitizer, couches, television. Well, like, it was ridiculous. I walked into his apartment, I'm like, what? You know, it's like, and that is a healthy, healthy church. And it's good to recognize that and give honor for that. So good on your pastor and your church family.
Yeah, and even when my pastor from childhood retired, the pastor who then, you know, started leading our church, he's the same way. And it's beautiful to know that the structure and just the family that I've built with the church is still very strong, even at a distance. And so they'll text me, they'll call me. My pastor's always like, don't forget about us. You have to call us. And having that, and knowing that when I left, my mom was still in good hands. And that was a fear of mine. And understanding that even when I left, like, God was still there. Nothing changed in regard to that. And so that's something that I experienced stepping away and kind of seeing it from a different perspective at a distance.
What was your first day showing up? So moving day, what's that experience? Like, did your mom drive you down, fly down? How did that work out?
So we flew down. It was me, my mom, and another family friend of ours who we also are very close to us because of church. We're very close. A lot of us are very close. And she came down with my mom and my brother. So I have my brother, who's the middle child. He is a year and a half younger than me, so we kind of grew up very close, and he kind of wanted just to be there for me when I was heading off to college. So they came, we rented a car, and I had my stuff shipped. We have a family friend who lives in Kissimmee, so she was like, ship everything you need, and I'll receive it here. So we shipped it down there, and everything else, like bedding, stuff like that, mom was like, we'll just wait till we get to Florida, and we'll buy all that stuff there. And so I did that. All I shipped was my clothes. That's really the only thing I shipped. And so we went to Kissimmee, picked it up, drove to Tampa. We flew into Tampa. So
right. That
was that experience. That was my first time.
Really?
In such a big airport. Yeah. I flew from JFK, but Tampa is also just a very interesting airport. It's a
bit, Tampa International Airport.
Yeah, it's huge. And I remember we stayed at a hotel because I wasn't moving until the next day. So I went out and just bought anything else I needed and just stuff that I knew I was going to need for my room. And I remember I came on campus and my RA received me.
Who was your RA?
She was Sabrina. It was Sabrina at the time. So she's not a graduate, but
yeah. It
was Sabrina. And she was like, she received me. She welcomed me, gave me my keys. And I was like, oh, like, it's happening. And I went to my room because COVID was still still going on, but at that time it was very much like everyone was kind of just staying home. We didn't have a lot of resident students that first semester that I came.
Right.
So I.
And you were January, right?
Yeah, and I was a January. I came in January. I had no roommate, so I had a room to myself. But it was so different. I was like, oh, like, this is weird. I'm actually doing this.
What floor were you on?
I was on the second floor.
It's a nice little view from your window.
Yeah, I was able to kind of just. It was nice. I loved the room, and I'd come to visit, so I kind of already knew what I was expecting, and we just arranged my room, and I left that night. I still had spent that last day with my family. We went to a fun spot, I think, in Kissimmee. We did stuff. We were doing just stuff in Florida. Just, obviously, it was my mom's first time in Florida, too, so.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we were all just, you know, doing all the fun things, and then the day they had to leave. So we got to my room, and they were going to head straight from here to the airport. And so we came, she moved. We were done by that point. We just had smaller things to get together. And then it hit about 2 o'clock. She was like, well, we got to go. And so I hugged them. And I had the view of the parking lot. So I kind of saw them drive off.
Oh, man. Like a movie.
Yeah. And I remember it like it was yesterday. They drove off and she just texted me and she's like, I love you. And I was like, I love you too. And it was like, in that moment I broke down. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I just, what did I do? This is crazy. What am I doing here? 1,000 thoughts running through my head. And I had come, I think, on a Thursday. So that same weekend was like new student orientation. So they had a lot of fun events, and the students and SGA at the time, shout out to MK. She was VP of SGA at the time.
Oh, man. We love MK.
We love MK. And she knocked on my door. She was like, are you coming? And I didn't know anyone. So I was like, no, it's okay. I'm not going to go. She's like, are you sure? And she tried. And I didn't go out. But that first weekend, they did have a lot of stuff going on. So I did go out to the bonfire, I believe. And then hot dogs with the president, Marco Farewell at the time. And that was kind of that weekend. And then classes started, and it was kind of, I had to get down to a routine. It was hard. The first days were probably the hardest days because it's just the silence. Like, it's just me. I didn't know anyone. And so it was definitely something to get used to. And I will say, people were very welcoming and very, even when I first got here, the professors. And quickly that first semester, I started to make just friendships that till this day I'm still very close to and I'm friends with. And so very grateful for that.
I've noticed you have gravitated to a couple professors that you really like. So tell me about that mentorship relationship. Who's your favorite? You can say it. You can have a favorite.
I have too many. Because
teachers have favorite students, but they'll never say they do. Oh. I was a teacher. Yes, we do. The world, you should now know we have favorite students.
I have a couple.
Who's been touching your heart? Who's been really getting to you?
When I first got here, Dr. Parsons. I had my Old Testament class with him, and his humbleness, the love for God and the love for Scripture was just, it was so noticeable. And I just loved his classes. I loved him just talking about the Word of God and how, like, excited he was for it.
He was like an engineer or something, and then later in life went back to school to do all his education.
So he was definitely...
The Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
And then there's Martin Luther, and there's Dr. Parsons. I'm kind of exaggerating a little bit, but we're not that far off though. Like,
yeah. No, Dr. Parsons is amazing. And so during that first semester, we had small groups, and my faculty was Professor Perkins, who to this day, love her so much.
Mom, right?
She's one of them. There's so many. I have so many.
She moms on everybody. She does. She's awesome.
She helped me. My first semester here was, even though I loved it and I loved this college, it was tough. My first semester was very tough for me. Not only just being family sick, just homesick, but it was just a very tough semester for me. And she was someone I leaned on a lot during that first semester, as well as Dr. Mallow. Those were the two pillars during that time in my life that I leaned on. In anything and everything, I was like, and so they mentored me, they helped me, they encouraged me. I was actually, crazy enough, I was planning to leave my first semester from how tough things were getting. And I remember sitting in David DeLau's office, and he was like, no, there's a reason for this. Push through. And I remember calling my mom, and I was like, I can head home if you want me to. She was like, absolutely not. And I was like, okay, well, I'm staying. And I'm so thankful that I had people who encouraged me through that season because I'm still here because of that. And later on, obviously, I think about a year ago when Professor Seelix came in, she's also, from the moment I met her, she's been incredible to me. And I have a few also female staff that have really encouraged me. Carly Dooley, love that woman. And so I've just had people that have really just helped my journey here at Trinity College. Yep. And, you know, outside of just females, Corey Moore, there's just been a lot of people, Dean Depido, I could go on and on and on about the people that I've come across that have really changed.
It's good to say the names.
Yeah.
You and I never really intersect because my job is different.
Yeah.
So, but I watch from the sidelines and I observe. And I watch people come in and the seed being planted and then I see who waters them, and nurtures them along, and all of a sudden they sprout, and then next thing you know they are flourishing and you're in the flourishing mode. So what are you doing now on the college campus? What is your role other than student? So when are you graduating?
I'm planning to graduate December of 2024.
So after this semester you have one more.
Yep.
Way to go. Well, you came in January, so that makes sense.
Yeah, so I came in January.
But you still won't get to walk until May, because we only do that once a year. But you'll still be done.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing on the campus this year?
This year, I am president of our student government. I am still a resident advisor. My first year was last fall, and I kept the role. And I was a tutor, so I worked as a tutor for a little bit. Now I don't work in the library, but those are kind of my roles that I just do on the campus. And I'm involved in different student groups, and I help out in different areas that I can.
So, president of SGA?
Yep.
So, if you don't know this, if you're listening, SGA is the go-to, number one, most important student life.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the leader of student life.
Yeah.
And that's quite a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to I like to bridge a gap between I want to go home and leave, and now I'm the president of SGA. Let's bridge that gap. So is that all faith? Is it just? Is it? Sometimes I think you have to. As Christians, I think we have to grit our teeth. Sometimes.
Oh yeah.
I think Jesus makes the promise. I'll never leave you or forsake mm-hmm. you. No, I'm not going to abandon you. But I think we miss the word. There's a verse in the Bible about self-control
mm-hmm.
in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, the idea was discipline, self-discipline.
Yeah.
And so I look at that and I say, there's work to be done, guys. You're going to have to sweat a little bit and you're going to have to work. But I've watched you go from that. And it makes me happy.
Yeah.
It really makes me laugh because I see God working. And I feel sad sometimes because people don't realize God really does work in people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
And he works through his church. Which, I'm not talking about the 501c3, mm-hmm. that's fine, but I'm talking about the people. Mm-hmm. Like, City Perkins isn't a part of your church.
Yeah.
Don Seelink isn't a part of your church.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Parsons isn't a part of your church, but they're all the church.
Yeah.
And they've been pouring mm-hmm. into your life.
For sure.
And it's like that gap has been bridged, and it's fantastic. Yeah. It's fantastic. So what's been if you had to say all the classes you've taken, all the things that you've taken, what's something that's really impacted you and made you, that's maybe adjusted your worldview? You had a good worldview coming in, but it's matured you. What's something you think it's really gotten you?
I think for me, one of my funnest classes in regard to, like I said, I'm a learner. I love to learn.
Yep.
Was definitely my systematic theology classes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because it's Dr. B, but I think because a part of, one, obviously, we know he loves the Word and he loves God. And
yep.
so he demonstrates that through his lectures. But learning about all the different aspects of theology and the doctrines. And I think for me, it went beyond more learning. It was more getting to just know who God was and is and continues to be. And getting to kind of see that in different aspects. Obviously, when we talk about the person of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, angels, all of that, and learning about all of it. And for me, Sistio 1, we learned about the attributes of God, and that it developed in me a more hunger to just continue to learn about God, but also, like, it just added another layer to my relationship with God, knowing that you are good, like, you're so good. And
that's fantastic.
Yeah, and just knowing that I didn't deserve this, I didn't earn it.
I love that.
It's been definitely one of the most amazing experiences for my spiritual life, getting to be a part of and just learning about these.
Let it be known, world. Your leadership has been humble. You've been a very good leader. Leadership, everything falls on leadership.
Definitely my support system. I definitely have great friends, a great team. My boyfriend hears all the rants and all the complaints.
I didn't even know that.
So thankful that he's willing to go through all that, because sometimes leadership isn't easy. And that was one of the biggest things I take away from this, even this year as SGA leader.
Yeah.
Leadership is not easy. And I think I've known that, but this definitely taught me there's so many more aspects.
December rolls around and you graduate. What is next for Steph?
Ooh. A part of me wants to go into education for a little bit. I want to go into vocational ministry, but I want to kind of first step into education for a little bit, teach at a Christian school.
Beautiful.
And just impart all the knowledge I've learned throughout these years. The goal is to stay in Florida, but again, that's always
really?
Up to God, yes. So me and my boyfriend have been together for a year and almost a half now, so we're kind of already talking about next steps and what that looks like. So
yeah, sure.
That also influences a little bit of my decision, but we're both on the same page in regard to kind of whatever God wants and wherever he wants us, we will do. And so I'm kind of in that space right now . I don't know exactly what I want to do, but I do know that I'm just kind of going to let God put everything in its place. And I know I'm going to be okay, although it's scary not knowing completely, but it's always reminding myself, like, I came here with faith. That's all I had. faith and two boxes of clothes, and I've been here now almost 4 years, so knowing that God's going to provide the will, his will and his plan.
Well, I am so glad you were able to take some time out of your day to do this today, and I would say, you know, I look forward to where God flourishes you next, but you're not done here. You still have to finish the semester, go for the summer, semester. And then the fall, and then, you know, then the next thing.
Even just looking back at my first semester here, even before I came here, I guess one of the biggest things would be, like, trusting God even in the unknown. That's always been an area I've always struggled with. When you know what's going on, it's so much easier to trust God. But it's in the trusting God in the unknown. And honestly, if it wasn't for me, have trusted God in the unknown, especially that first semester, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in the relationship I'm in. And I wouldn't have the support system I have. I wouldn't have met professors that have literally changed my life, faculty and staff that have changed my life. And so it's crazy because I was talking to David yesterday about this, and he brought up that day in his office, and he was like, imagine you would have left that day. You wouldn't have met Zay, who is my boyfriend, and you wouldn't be in these positions learning all that you're learning. And I sat with myself because I think it's easier for us to complain that when things aren't going so well. And I think I fell into that, especially when I first started off as SGA president. It was tough. That first semester for us was very tough as a team in general, as a cabinet, as senators, as just SGA as a whole. And having just people around me supporting me, Zay, my David, who is the faculty advisor for SGA, having professors really pouring into me, I don't think I'd have as such a positive attitude about it, and understanding that sometimes you got to stay where you're planted. You just got to stay where God has put you, because
stand your post, soldier. Yep,
that is where God is really I feel like God is really much molding me, teaching me a lot of lessons, not even just about leadership, but about who I am as a person. And I think, funny enough, I wrote in my notes the other day the word contentment. Paul said it himself, you know, I've learned to be content in all circumstances.
Well, that was my next and final question. I like to ask this, what is your go-to verse and what is your go-to song?
Verse, I have it in my email. If you send me an email from Trinity College, you'll see it. I have it under that. But it is, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power is of God and not us. And it's been my verse for, a couple years now. And it basically just reminds me how fragile we really are and how powerful God really is. Because it says we have this treasure in jars of clay. And just knowing that I have a beautiful treasure who is, you know, Christ. And in a simple jar like me. And that through that and through my relationship with Christ, I'm showing the power of God. And it's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's great to be in the positions, and I've learned a lot from the positions I'm in. But it's also helped me see that if it wasn't for God, none of it would matter. It becomes now a work-based relationship. Like, I do, when understanding he has given me more than I could ever.
How about worship song? Or song in general?
Ooh, I love worship.
If I go to your playlist, what one gets played the most?
Recently, it's been a song called Trust in God.
There you go. Yeah, it makes sense.
And it's a specific part that says, like, I sought and you answered. And it's just a reminder that, like, in a part it says, and you never fail. And so it's just a constant reminder, like, when I seek you, even if it's a no, if it's a yes, it's a maybe, not right now, he's still answering me. And I can rest in that he knows, he hears me when I seek him. And that as a result of that, I can stand in that truth that he doesn't fail me. And that is the truth I'm trying to live by every day.
Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
I'm John Keller. This has been the Trinity College of Florida podcast, along with SGA president and about 10 other things. So thank you so much, Steph. And we didn't even talk about your mission trip to Peru.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll do that one. We'll grab some guys, some folks that went on that trip, definitely. And we'll get Don in here, and we'll talk about that mission trip for sure. because that was a whole, I deserve to tell a podcast.
Oh yeah, that was amazing.
All right, thank you for listening.